Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح دے مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح دے مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم طہارت کا پرچم فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح دے مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم گلستاں پہ شادابی سایہ فگن ہے گلستاں پہ شادابی سایہ فگن ہے امیدوں کی نکہت
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم 4 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful morning here in the land of Asia, Lanesia. I see our beloved engineer this morning. He is looking he's looking full brown this morning. The brown man. Yesterday he was blue, today is brown. That's our beloved Haji Suleiman Esop. He's my engineer from now till 12 o'clock on the bliss of marriage. Let's welcome, of course, our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. Let's welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, not forgetting our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Today is the 27th of Sha'ban, 1443. 27 of Sha'ban, 1443, which is also the 30th of March, 2022. I see Haji Suleiman Esop, he's just imitating. Oh yes, by the way, Haji Yusuf Ali was saying, not forgetting the program, inshallah, it will be taking place not tomorrow, Friday night, inshallah, between 6:30 to 8:00. That will be the opening and welcoming of the beautiful, holy, blessed month of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, this coming Friday night. Don't miss out, inshallah. I see Haji Suleiman Esop says, Malan, I'm in. I see Mulana Zahid from Merka Sabah say, Mulana, I'm in also. But nevertheless, our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, our Amir of Merka Sahaba, let's welcome him into the bliss of marriage. Ustad, I see you looking, mashallah, getting ready to leave to Port Elizabeth. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ustad, before maybe we start with the first question, maybe Ustad could just give a small rundown for the Port Elizabeth listeners, and of course your program will start.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 27th of Sha'ban, 1443. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Radio Al-Ansar International listeners, the listeners of Garden Radio. And yesterday a lady told me, this Garden Radio, what it means, I must go in my garden and listen to it. So anyway, that was a nice one to make, you know, a start the day. And then remember the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And mashallah, our program for PE, inshallah al-Aziz, will be tonight at the Darul Uloom Masjid Abu Bakr. Hafiz Salim Banju, Hafiz Salim Ali is the man in charge there. So mashallah, after Isha, the program will be there, Malaba. And tomorrow, and then Fajr time tomorrow, Masjid Aziz, there where Sheikh Salman is. So 4:45 is Jamaat. After that, we'll have some Nasiha and advice till Ishraq, inshallah. And then tomorrow night, inshallah, we will be there on the Thursday night in Uteneg, where Mohan Nadim Khan is. So mashallah, from Maghrib to Isha. And then again, Friday morning, we will be there in Masjid Aziz, where Sheikh Salman is. And 4:45 is Jamaat. As I mentioned, Friday, Jummah, we will be there, inshallah, in the Humphreys Masjid. Then Friday evening, we will be back, inshallah, al-Aziz. Now remember that Friday evening, we have to scan the sky, because Friday is the 29th. So, of Sha'ban, and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yati, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, meaning that you start the month with the sighting of the moon, and you end the month with the sighting of the moon, that you enter the month of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr. So inshallah, our team here, Maulana Arafat, Brother Yusuf Ali, Brother Suleiman Isuf, and Maulana Zahid Khan, inshallah, they all will be here. They'll speak to me, I'll be in PE, inshallah. And then we will tell you about the moon and the developments and so forth between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. But the chances are very slim, so 99% today I sent out, and I sent it to Maulana Arafat. I'm sure he will send it out to his listeners. If you look at it, remember that there's only 1% chance of seeing the moon somewhere in Hawaii and those places. That also was difficulty. So 99% the moon cannot be sighted anywhere, really speaking. And what will happen, inshallah, if proper sighting takes place, you know, especially the moon Sami's day in Saudi Arabia, then Saturday Maghrib time will be Ramadan starting, and Saturday night will be the first Taraweeh, and Sunday, inshallah, the first fast. So let us pray, inshallah, to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that we all start together, it will be good. And we read the two du'as we're supposed to read now. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh beloved Allah, grant us barakah during this month of Sha'ban, the few days and hours that are left, and say and spare us for the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, out of your benevolence, mercy. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, second hadith mentioned in Ganzul Ummal and Tabarani. So we read, Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimu lana mutakabbala. Allah, protect Ramadan for us, protect us for Ramadan, and protect Ramadan for us. Whatever we do, Ya Allah, you accept it. We know it's all broken, humble efforts. So Allah Jalla Wala, bless us, bless our families, and bless the Ummah Muslimah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustaz, that what is the dua for obedient children My husband overspoils my kids, even though it is not his. Where do I draw the line, Ustad?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You were married before your husband passed away, or maybe divorced, Allah alone knows. So alhamdulillah, it seems you are happily married now to your second husband. Ameen. And now your husband loves you, loves your children, but seems to be going over the limit and so forth. So now Sehri time, Ramadan will be starting inshallah, Saturday night, Sunday morning, you'll be awake. Suhoor time, so you and your husband take out 3, 4, 5 minutes and read Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhambin wa tubu ilay. Chapter 71, verses 9, 10, 11, 12. Wa yumdidukum bi amwaliu wa baneen. Almighty Allah Jalla wala will bless you with wealth. Allah will bless you with good rain and good pious children also. And for your children that you have, read chapter 46. Verse number 15. That is the beginning of the 26 Jews, 26 Subara, chapter 46, verse 15, 1-5. The verse is long. Look in the middle, you will find Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. Oh beloved Allah, that may bring about piety, reform, goodness in my children. And you, when your children are not around or they're sleeping, you must have a heart-to-heart discussion with your hubby when he's in a good mood, Moka Ishanasi, your timing must be right, and explain to him what you are doing is excellent, is not your responsibility. But sometimes, don't tell him always, sometimes you're getting overboard and so forth. So just be diplomatic about it and keep on making dua. While I'm speaking about that, Allah just put two thoughts in my mind. You know, people who are reliable, responsible, we know. In Port Shepstone, they're facing a water crisis. Not that there's no water, the whole ocean is there, but the municipality, this machine is broken and that is broken and that. So they're having a big problem with water. Make dua, Allah Jalla wala alleviate the plight and make everything come right. Imagine Ramadan starts and you don't have water, what a big problem that will be. And then I just received a message now from PE. They had rain there last night, but remember there's still a shortage there. So Allah Jalla wala bless us all with his special mercy and special mercy of rain also. Where there's an acute shortage of water and rain, read Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. And where you have too much rain like us, then read Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Ya Allah, send it to other parts of the country, other parts of the world like Somalia and so forth, and not upon us. So everywhere you will find a dua and a wonderful authentic dua mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad, Bulughul Maram, Bukhari, Muslim, various compilations, alhamdulillah.
I see Kronstadt, Ustad. There's a listener from Kronstadt. Muftisab, can I get married on Eid day at the Eidgah, Ustad?
So you must remember, so we'll give you two certificates. You must remember that. So the brother says he wants to get married on Eid day. So that is first Shawwal. So Eid day, the certificates are given. Who is Al-Faizin? The night of Eid and the day of Eid. So wala'allakum tashkurun. Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 2, verse 185. So you're going out to the Eidgah. Why? To thank Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, Ya Allah, you let me get past the examination. I was fasting. So wamun bin nahar, qawwamun bin layl. I was fasting during the day, standing in the Taraweeh and Salat during the night. So mashallah, Allah, you want to get married, so the girl is happy, her parents are happy, you happy, make bismillah, mashallah, very good. In Shawwal, to get married is sunnah. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha during the month of Shawwal, as mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. She, our mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, never had children. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to encourage her nephews, nieces, families, get married in Shawwal, get married in Shawwal. She herself, remember, according to calendar, this is now. So we will have to wait for confirmation, obviously. But Ramadan will start here on Sunday, the fasting, Saturday night, first Taraweeh, and it will be 29 days. And Monday will be the day of Eid. So you want to get married on that Monday? So very good, mashallah. And man, if you open Mirqat, the commentary of Mishkat Sharif by Mullah Ali Qari Rahimahullah, he hails from Herat, Afghanistan, when there was turmoil there. He came to Makkah Mukarramah, he passed away there, he's buried there in Mu'alla, and he wrote a wonderful commentary on Mishkat Sharif. In there it's mentioned, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha on 10th of Shawwal. So you want to get married on Eid day? Fine. You want to get married 10th of Shawwal? Fine, better. So whatever, you happy, your wife is happy, the girl's parents are happy, mashallah, make bismillah excellent.
I see there's a listener that says, Mufti Saab married for 60 years, subhanallah, and it seems a lifetime. Does it mean that for the rest of my days in the Akhirah, I will spend with the same husband who started?
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala keep you happy in this world for the remainder of your time. My uncle who passed away last year on a Friday, my kaka, my chacha, so he was married for 62, 63 years. So it is a lifetime almost, you know. So it means you all must be close to 80 years old or above 80. So now both of you, husband and wife, uncle and auntie, chacha and chacha, both of you must make this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Ya Allah, give us goodness in this world, give us goodness in the year after. So you together in this world, you together in the year after, and you enter Jannah also together. Wa qina adhab an-nar, and Ya Allah, you save us from the punishment of the fire. Surah 2 verse 201. Today I sent out the Urdu clip. It was very touching. One of our listeners from Pakistan sent it to me. The person speaking there is Maulana Ihtiram, Maulana Tanwirul Haq Tanwi. So Maulana Tanwirul Haq Tanwi. So the person who sent it to me, this was my response. Main Karachi mein tha 7 saal takriban. I was in Karachi studying there for 7 years, 74 to 80. And her Jumme ko takriban mein Jacob line Jumme ki namaz ada karta tha Hazrat Mohana Itishamuluk Tanvi ke piche. I used to go every Friday almost to Mohana Itishamuluk Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh there to his masjid for Jumma. 1 hour he used to lecture. Then the last 2-3 years, 78, 79, 80, around there, then he was training his son, this Mohana Tanvirul Haq, and he imitates his father. Obviously can't be the same, but to a great extent. And he's also got a wonderful voice. So he related a wonderful story I want to share with you. His says that one day that the people in Jannah, the parents will be on top, higher, first class. And now they will look around in Jannah, Ya Allah, our children, where they are. So Allah will say, your children are also in Jannah. But they will say, we can't see them. He say, no, just to make us understand, I'm using this term. So Allah Ta'ala will say that you are in first class and your children are in economy class. Or you are in business class and your children are in economy. Say, but Ya Allah, we want to see them. So Allah Ta'ala could have done this, that Allah could tell the parents, you go down to economy and then you meet your children. But Allah ki shane kareemi ke khilaaf hai. See the word he used. That this is against the magnanimity of Almighty Allah. So Allah says, your children, never mind, we give them upgrade. So now we bring them to you, so all of you stay together in business class and first class. See, that is Allah's mercy. So this month of Ramadan is coming, so ask Allah for Jannat, for ourselves, for our marhumin, our children, everybody, inshallah. So wonderful message he was giving to the Ummah. So we all should make these type of dua, and don't ask Allah only for Jannah, ask Allah for Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. That is the highest stage in Jannah, inshallah.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my dad embraced Islam, but I'm not sure if he denounced Islam later on. He passed away, he was buried as a Christian, but his sister says his most recent ID document had a Muslim name. Is it permissible to make dua for him, Ustad?
Remember, if a person embraced Islam, and thereafter, we always tell the imams, the maulanas, the sheikhs, the muftis, whoever, the trustees, that make sure that when he or she embraces Islam, then they should sign a document. You should have a template, you should have a ready-made document that ABC Pitskit or Jonathan became, you must remember, Jamaluddin, or this person that John became Yusuf or whatever. So you have a template, you have a form, and he fills it in, it's signed, and you go to the police or commissioner of oath to get it stamped. So everything is done properly, that when I pass away, everything will be done according to the Islamic Sharia, Islamic law. Then there won't be any argument and so forth. So the fatwa and the verdict is this: after he or she embraced Islam, are there any witnesses that to say, reliable witnesses, that he uttered certain words against Islam, or he did certain actions against Islam, going to the church, going to the temple, going to the synagogue or something, and go and worship there or something? So if there is not anything like that, then we will say he passed away a Muslim, and well, nahnu nahkumu bizawahir, we pass the verdict according to the prima facie evidence. Wallahu mutawalli sarair, and Allah alone knows what is in the hearts of people. So what they did, they buried him in the Christian graveyard. Why? Because he did not have any documents and so forth and so on, and the people who made him Muslim also did not want to fight with the family. So therefore it's imperative upon us that whenever we make people Muslim, then remember we should get that form and template organized and do so. So inshallah, we hope and pray he passed away as a Muslim, and we make dua for him. So that is what, never mind, even if he got buried in a Christian graveyard, Allah Jalla wa Ala's mercy will come to him and protect him, provided that he passed away with Iman and Islam, inshallah.
I see they say, Mufti Sahib, someone told me that if you read Rabbana Hablana in Salah after Dua'i Mathura with the intention of getting married, you will get a spouse really quick. How authentic is this Ustad?
Yes, you must remember it's Quran. Every Quranic dua is very powerful. Let's understand the question, what the person is saying, that he's reading Salat individually or behind the Imam. So now the Imam read Allahu Akbar and he said Sajda. So you read Subhan Rabbil A'la, you read Subhan Rabbil A'la, Subhan Rabbil A'la, Subhan Rabbil A'la, and then you want to read Rabbana Hablana Min Azwajina Wa Dhurriyatina Qurrata Ayun. So that's good, very good. And remember that Surah chapter 25 verse 74, Ya Allah, grant that such spouses and such offspring and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes, and open Sahih Muslim, then you will find the beautiful hadith of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aqrabu ma yakunul abdu min rabbi wa wasajidun, the nearest the servant will come to the mercy of Allah is whilst he is in that posture, position of sajda, prostrating, complete surrender, submission to Almighty Allah. Faaksiru fihi dua, make abundant dua in that posture. And second hadith in Muslim, fajtahidu fihi dua, faqaminun ayyustajaba lakum, make abundant dua, exert yourself, and your duas will be accepted. So very good, excellent, we agree with it, we concur with the person who told you that. So read the duas in Salat in Arabic. Out of Salat, you make sajda in any language, no problem.
Somebody says, I just want to bring it to you, Mufti Saab, that my sister is a troublemaker, telling my husband that my child is not his. It causes bombastic marital problems. In my case, can I disassociate or break family ties with my sister, Ustad?
Don't sever ties completely, but curtail ties with her. She is jealous. You must remember, you have a good marriage, good husband, and Allah has blessed you with wonderful children. Maybe she's not married, or maybe she's divorced, or maybe her children are giving her beans and big problems and so forth. So three advices. Number one, don't sever ties completely. That no salam, no kalam, because Almighty Allah condemns that, especially in cases like this. Chapter number 47, Surah Muhammad, named after the Master Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verses 22-23, in tawallaytum, when you have authority and power, and tufsidu fil ard, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on the earth, wa tuqatti'u arhamakum, and you sever the family ties. So when we sever family ties for deeni's sake, the person is not reading salat, they're not wearing proper, the modest clothing, they don't want to practice on Islam, so then it's permissible. But for our own personal arguments, no. So if you sever ties completely, then this happens, the consequences. Chapter 47, Surah Muhammad, verses 22-23. Ulaika alladhina la'anahumullah. Allah Ta'ala curses such people. He deprives them of His special mercy. Fa'aswammahum wa'a'ma absarahum. And He makes them spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. So curtail contact, just make salam and carry on. And read, you, my sister, that who posed this question, read Surah 29. Surah 29, verse 30. In life, you get people, they got a hidden agenda, ulterior motive. Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. Ya Allah, you assist me against the mischief makers, troublemakers. So if what you are saying is true, then really she is a troublemaker, then Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen, and Allah Ta'ala will sort it out. And remember, this is the dua Nabi Lut alayhi salam, Lot, peace be upon him, read against the gay brigade, the homosexuals, and Allah decimated them. The third issue, you have to cement your ties with your husband and tell him that this lady, your sister, she's jealous and doing all these things. He must not fall for the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. That is what shaitan wants. You waswisu fi sudurin nas. He brings the waswasa and whisperings, and what they do, all this is Quran. Remember Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 102. Yufarriquna bihi bayna al-mar'i wa zawji. Then they bring about separation between husband and wife. See where it started and where it ends. So tell him not to be naive and not fall for her tricks. She's just jealous and she's envious of you and your husband and so forth. So that is my advice to all parties concerned.
Somebody says, Mufti Saab, that my wife's supposedly ex-husband pitched up at home yesterday. He was gone overseas and was stranded, and his brother wrote a letter of divorce and handed it to my wife. It is now 6 months later, Mufti Saab, and he says he never divorced her. What do we do from here? Whose wife is she? Anonymous Ustad.
So remember that if there's a letter and all this for 6 months, he didn't speak anything and so forth, and now he pitches up after 6 months and says that he didn't divorce her. So obviously that the zahir, the superficial and prima facie evidence is against him. So when there's documentary proof and all that, that he divorced her, so you are married to her after the iddat, so she's your wife. So it is just a case of sour grapes. How in the previous question, there, that sister-in-law, that wife's sister seems to be jealous, envious. Yeah, this guy, he woke up, his marriage didn't work out with you, now he's jealous that why you remarried, so he comes with all these fairy tale stories. You must just kick him out of your life and tell him if he comes here again, you will get the restraining order and you will send his name out viral, that this guy here divorced his wife and is making trouble and so forth. So she is your wife, you don't fall for all these type of tricks. Where were you all this time? You wake up after 6 months here. So you must remember, come with fairy tales, that they're not acceptable.
Somebody says, so Mufti Saab, my husband is dating my sister to keep my family together. Can my husband divorce me and marry my sister, Ustad?
You must remember, the problem is your people's problem. Why? When your husband married you, then you said, you know what, this is my sister. The laws of hijab, parda, all we threw out of the window. So when he is married to you, so you must remember, parda is compulsory between your sister and him. But we say, no, we must be broad-minded and so forth and so on. So I know of incidents, you must remember, where the husband is married to one and is busy with the other one, sleeping with her and what and what. So every moment Allah's curse. Now you say that let him divorce you and get married to your sister. What you think? He's not loyal to you. You think he'll be loyal to your sister? So what kind of advice are you giving also? Second one is this, where will be your father's common sense? He divorces you and then he must give permission for the same son-in-law there to get married to his other daughter, then where is his common sense? Common sense is no more common. So you must tell your sister, get out of your life and your husband's life and tell your husband that you're giving him last chance. Otherwise, you will take the children and everybody, and he will be deprived in this sense of seeing them once a week only, once a month he will see them, and so forth and so on. So you holding the trump cards, not him. And your sister must say, tell her, she must get out completely, and tell your father, tell your sister, tell your brother, and them, they must speak to her. How can she be doing this and stabbing you in the back?
So Ustad, if the husband went for a holiday with the second wife, Ustad, is it correct to take the dirty laundry to the first wife, Ustad?
So she must dump it out, put it in the street. You must remember that. So she must say, you go with the second wife and you can put the laundry here. I know what to do. I'll put it there in the garbage tin and put it in the street. That is what you must do. So since when that is justice, I'm asking you. Quran Kareem states, you know Netanyahu. So Netanyahu the Jutla. So you must always read these things here. Then you will come to know how they operate, these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu was a frequent visitor to the White House, you see. So he used to go now and then, Trump and us and that. So in the Haaretz newspaper, I read this myself. So you can Google it and see. So when he and his wife used to go, they used to take all their laundry and all that worth, dirty clothing, all. Why? They get it washed there in the White House, free of charge. You understood? Yeah. Prime Minister of Israel taking his dirty clothing laundry so that he don't have to pay and it'll get washed in the White House. You can Google it and see. So this chap, yeah, he learned the trick like that. It's be sharam, be ghirat, you know, in Islam. Immoral people do these kind of things. Yeah, you must remember that. So Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So you must remember, if you can't do justice, then you have one wife only. First of all, you get married, and then you bring the laundry here. What you think, your first wife is your slave or something? So remember, if she had to ask me, I'd say, take all the clothes and throw it outside. So when he come back, he can go look for it there. You understood? So that is not permissible, that you think your first wife is your slave or something.
I see the brother says here, Mufti Saab, I am an activist, and last night after Salatul Isha, an argument broke out because I made a statement that I said that I do give Mr. Donald Trump as well a good card. He did some good as well in his life. So now my friends don't want to speak to me. Did I do anything wrong? Was this statement wrong of Mr. Donald Trump, Ustad?
You see, the problem with the Ummah is, let us be honest, you know, majority of the Ummah don't know Deen. If you say there are 1 billion Muslim, then 750 million don't even know how to read the Quran Sharif looking inside properly. That is as far as deen goes. Leave other aspects of deen. You look at dunya, then we have become, Quran said in the first 5 verses that were revealed, in Surah Alaq chapter 96, Iqra, twice it's mentioned. But this ummah says, La Aqra, we're not going to read. You understand? What we're going to do, we will sit on our sofa and we will play with all the channels. There, channel 1, channel 10, channel 20, this flicks, that flicks, that movie, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, all these things, Tiger Hood, all the shaitan. So when the ummah becomes like that, majority is the case. So you must remember, then they don't understand deen, nor they understand dunya also. See, I tell you something, you must tell them that they had an imaginary elections. You're listening carefully to what I'm saying. You, the brother who posed the question, that they had imaginary elections. So they said if elections was held yesterday, today, be one side the Republican, Trump. On the other side, Sleepy Joe, Biden. Then who wins? Oh, Trump wins. You understood? That was your latest breaking news yesterday. This morning also I saw it. So you must remember this type of things here. So you must remember Trump is a big shooter. You understand? When he speaks, half the time he lies. I will do this, I will do this. He's a person who just wants to be in power. So that is what he wants to. And if you want something out of Trump, then in Mammon we got the proper word. I'll tell you a story about that. So you say, Inke povale charai ganje. You understand? Inke povale charai ganje. So my mother-in-law, she was blind, you know. So then she passed away here in where we are now. So in 2001, Allah granted Jannah to Firdaus. So one day she was there, my wife was there, I was there. So I used to try and speak Gujarati with her, but with Fatima I speak Mehman also many times and so. So I said, I koro gal karota, what you talking? Inke povale charai ganje, just flatter that guy and everything will get done. So she looked at me, meaning she's blind, but she just turned to me. Who taught you this word povale? I said, my beloved mother. She asked me, do you know what is povale? So I explained to her to flatter. This is philology. This is philology. She said, no. That is the figurative meaning. The real meaning of inke povale charai ganje is povale is, we saw this in Pakistan, India and all that. You get Maulana, maybe you also saw, you studied there in India and that. So these people who sell fruit in the street. So one side, they got the fruit. Mm. They got the grapes, they got this, they got that. On the other side, sometimes they don't put, you must remember, the kilo or the pound. They just put a stone or whatever. Yes. You know how they work that side. So pawale charai ganje means that you must put so much fruit or whatever, so till it comes up. One goes up and one goes down.
Correct.
Yeah. Remember?
Yes,
yeah. So that is pawale. So that is what Trump wanted. You must just come massage his ego, massage his ego. Then he's a good guy. You understood? But now the thing that hit Trump is that he knocked Hillary, everybody, but he couldn't stand it that how come I'm a one-term president. That is what's killing him. You must remember that. So don't worry about that. So Trump was a better president than Obama and them and all these other characters. They were the ones who, and Bush and them, that who waged so many wars against the Muslim. He also caused a lot of harm, there's no doubt about it, but not that amount of harm to the Muslims like the previous presidents. So therefore our Muslims don't understand deen, they don't understand dunya. That is the big problem today.
The brother's name is Riyad Ustad. He says, I must tell Riyad, and he says he will do that to start.
Right. Riyadh means, inshallah, Allah give us all Riyadhul Jannah, the gardens of paradise, my brother. Pronounce it properly. Riyadh, Ra, or Re, Ya, Alif, Ye, Alif, and God, that is Riyadh. Rawdatum mi Riyadhul Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the gardens of Jannah. So that is a wonderful, beautiful name.
Ustad, there's a sister says that we have bought the tickets already to go to Jeddah. We're planning on spending just 2 weeks in Jeddah for a holiday, of course, in the month of Ramadan. What's your right, Ustad? Should we go or shouldn't we go, Ustad?
It's haram. What you going to do in Jeddah? Makkah is right there, Medina is there, and you're going to waste your time in Jeddah. What you going to do? Shopping, go here, go here, look at all the haram things and all these type of things. And that on top of it during Ramadan. So remember, it's an insult. You must remember that. If you say you're going to Jeddah and then you're spending 1-2 days there, and then you're going to Medina and spend 1 week there or 5-6 days, and then you come into Makkah, that's fine. But now you want to spend 2 weeks there in Jeddah, you'll get fed up in 2-3 days also. So remember, if that is your intention, it's better you cancel it. You must remember that. And if your intention is going to change now after what I told you, you want to spend 2 days there also, fine, and then go to Medina, don't go Makkah. Because if you're going to go to Makkah, then the issue of ihram and all that comes in. So speak to your agent that this is how you must make your booking, that you spend 2-3 days or whatever in Jeddah, then go to Makkah, but go to Medina. From there, spend another 4, 5, 6 days in Medina, come to Makkah, make a umrah there during Ramadan, 2-3 nights, 4 nights, whatever the case is. Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. That an umrah during Ramadan is equivalent to a hajj with me, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hadith is authentic in Muslim Sharif and so forth. So that is what you should do. If you can't do that, rather cancel your booking.
I see there's a family from Senten, Ustad. They want to know from you that the three harams open, can we go or not? And if it is open, will Muftisab inshallah be able to come with us if we offer Muftisab? A family from Senten, Ustad.
We're not for sale, you must remember that. So we're not for sale. So no, I won't. won't be coming. So inshallah, I'll be here this Ramadan, inshallah. Yes, all the harams are open. Today is Wednesday, right?
Yes, sir.
So last week, Friday, I was going to Cecilburg. The brother who brought me back, Shaheed Dasu, he is there, you must remember, in Roshni. I don't know if you know him. So maybe you can just contact somebody. He's supposed to leave today for Aqsa al-Mubarak. Aqsa is open, remember that. And we say Alhamdulillah to the brother who got rid of the five jutlas and all that. When Muslims die, we say Inna lillahi wa inna rajoon. When jutlas die and all that, we say Alhamdulillah. In case you don't know jutlas, it means the Jews, the Zionists and all of them. You know what's happening there. Therefore, we say Alhamdulillah. So anyway, the point is this. You go, mashallah, and then fasten ihram there at Aqsa al-Mubarak. And then, mashallah, you go. But make sure you have proper bookings with your agent and so forth. Hadith in Abu Dawood, Umme Salama radiallahu anha reports, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahalla bi hajjatin aw umratin, that whosoever makes intention for umrah or hajj, minal majid al-aqsa. So hajj time we don't encourage it because they give me big problems. But anyway, umrah time we encourage it. So it will be excellent, Ramadan, and then you made ihram from Aqsa al-Mubarak. Then minal majid al-aqsa, three things happen. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, your previous sins are forgiven. Wa ma ta'akhkhar, your future sins are forgiven. Wa wajabat lahu al-jannah, and jannat also, inshallah, you'll be deserving of that through the mercy of Allah. Hadith in Abu Dawood, Sahaba, some of them, they fastened ihram there, like Abdullah ibn Umar and so forth and so on. So therefore, we encourage it 100%. Do that, inshallah, and don't worry, I must come and this must come. You put your trust in Allah and you go, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, it's 18 minutes to 12. Before we go, inshallah, for an interval quickly, the listener wants to know, is it safe for us to go to Aqsa now for the three harams?
Very, very safe. Go, don't worry. Everything is safe. Put your trust in Allah. You must remember, it's safer than South Africa also. So you must remember that. You know South Africa, every day we got some Skopskitten donor. You must remember, somebody shooting somebody. So you go, go, go. No worry, inshallah. You read Leela Figuration and you go, inshallah.
Well, it's 15 minutes to 12, somebody says, yeah, Ustad, my sister went for Umrah, didn't get a time slot for Rawda. Anything you can tell her to ease her heart? She's very upset, Mufti Sahib, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My niece, her husband and them are there in Medina Munawwara, and same thing happened to them. You must remember, I even raised it on the Monday night Q&A. So you must remember, innamal a'malu bin niyat. So you must say, Ya Allah, I made intention that I'll go to the Rawdah, but the authorities did not allow me and so forth. So Allah Jalla Wala will give you the maximum optimum reward. Obviously, obviously, you feel upset and so forth. You spend so much money, so many hopes, aspirations. And then the Saudis must be to blame. This is not from today. I read 10 years ago, so you must remember, the ladies complaining that the place is too small and all these type of things. So now they want everything to suit their desires. Therefore, you must remember that Allah will take everything away from them. They're insulting the Hajis. They're insulting the Zayis. See, they insult the Hajis. How? I sent it out already 1 month ago or so. You must remember, they put urinals where the people, the men, must go in ihram and stand and urinate. Can you imagine Muslims doing this? And this is all new facilities, all new. So you must remember, it's an absolute disgrace and a shame for them. Almighty Allah states, "Wa may yurid fihi bi ilhadim bi zulmin nuziqhu min adabin alim." In the Haram Sharif, when you make intention, only irada, intention, for deviation and oppression, Allah will unleash a painful, terrible, horrible punishment. Surah 22, verse 25. Umrah, you can't just make Umrah. That also, you have to wait for your slot and so forth. Then I spoke to my wife's husband, my niece's husband, you must remember, and I asked him, you understand, for you men, what's the story? He said, yes, yes, we get in, but you only allowed 15 minutes, 1-5. So you can spend in the roda. Then the police come, they take you out. Now imagine, they treating Masjidul Haram, Haram Sharif, or Masjidul Nabawi, you must remember, as their own personal house, you know. So it don't belong to you. It don't belong to the family, the ruling family or somebody. This belongs to the Muslims and Muslim. So you want to dictate to people, that's haram. That is one reason why I don't want to go. So you must remember this type of things. We want to go when all these stupid laws are not worth the paper, must be removed. The truth of the matter, if you want to really know, somebody asked a question, I think the brother sister from Senton. All three harams of ours now are run by the Jews. If you understand the truth.
Allah.
You know what I mean, run by the Jews? That they don't want to upset them, and they won't tell. They can't speak one word against America from the minbar. They can't speak one word against the Jews. They can't speak one word against Israel, nothing. Why? No. Don't upset the apple cart and so forth. So that is the real status quo going on now. A shame and a disgrace it is.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Somebody says, Mufti said, my husband is upset with me for not standing up for him in front of his mother. I told him, your mother is not wrong. She is still your mother. I can't do anything now. He is upset with me. Ustad.
So if his mother was right and he, your husband, was wrong, so that's a very good thing you did. You told him your mother is not wrong, meaning he is wrong. And for real, if he was wrong, then he should give you a bonus that in this day and this age, I got such a wife who's prepared to show me what is right and wrong. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to make dua, Rahim Allah umra'an, Allah have mercy on that person who shows me my wrongdoings and so forth and so on. Today, our pride, our arrogance don't allow us to accept. Therefore, then we go to Hizbu Shaitan. What happened to Shaitan? Aba wastakbara. Almighty Allah commanded him, make sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam, the masterpiece of my creation. Abba, he defied the command of Allah. Wastakbara, his pride, arrogance got the better of him. Almighty Allah expelled him from Jannah and paradise, never to see it again. So similarly, when your husband is in a good mood and you alone, not in front of the children or anybody, you need to explain to him that she is your mother, and even if she's wrong, then you don't have to insult her and so forth and so on. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith, wa in zalama, thrice. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam hadith, go see Mishkat Sharif, go see Al-Adabul Mufrad, Riyadu Salihin, all the famous hadith kitab, that even if our parents are wrong, then you as a son, daughter, you must still show them love, you must still show them respect. That is what Islam teaches us.
Somebody says, but Mufti Sahib, you have been telling people not to go. They not listening, Ya Allah. Now they complaining to you. Allah protect us all, Ustad.
So you must remember, we give advice. You know what is advice? Advice is that we give from our heart. But the emotions of people, you can't control. People say, for 2 years we made intention. We made intention to go for Umrah. We made intention to go for Hajj. Corona came, COVID came, pandemic, whatever. I call it pandemic. So remember that people don't listen. So now they're there. So at least we have to give them some advice and so forth and so on. How many of my family members are there now? They don't listen to other people. They don't listen to me also. So you must remember these type of things there. So if you ask me, no, I won't go. Why must we accept all this type of zillat? You understood? You can't go here. You can't. And then they want to trail you. Everywhere they want to track you. They tell you, you must take out that app. That app is a spy. So where you go here, it will tell them where you are. You go there. And if you know, in America and Russia, whatever, they have plainclothes policemen. And when I entered the White House, before entering, the one guy told us, be careful what you speak here. They in the garden also going to the entry. They got spaza, they got mics there. You understood? Not spaza, real mics they got there. They can hear what you're speaking and all this type of thing. In the Haram Sharif, they in Medina, they also had this. Maybe even now they got it. So they got some places they can even hear what you're speaking and all that. See? So what are you doing? So you must remember that a real police state and this type of things there. So you must remember, you need to be very careful how many spies are running around there in plain clothes and all that. So they picked you up and then you got so many problems and all this type of things. So why we must go for all these type of things here? So remember, therefore we make dua daily. Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain Masjidul Aqsa from the internal and external enemies.
Allahu Akbar. I did not know that, Ustad. Somebody says, is it grounds to separate if my husband flirts and loves with other women, Ustad?
So you must remember, start ta'aleem in your house. Remember that now Ramadan is coming. Take fadail Ramadan of Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya, Sheikh Al-Hadith, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. Say every time you and your husband, both of you make dua together. Inshallah, he will realize his wrong and haram and so forth. So it won't be a valid ground that you just go for fasakh. Rather, we will tell you, if you don't want to listen, then holiday time or whenever, tell him you're going to your parents' place and then you don't come back. Set temporary separation, and these are the conditions you stipulate and say, okay, I will come back. Quran says wasulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. But remember, reconciliation is the best when both parties make compromises and both parties are loyal to one another.
Somebody says, so if the husband spends 5 days, Monday till Friday will start, with the first wife, and 2 days weekend with the second wife, is this equality? He doesn't stay weekends with the first wife, and he says he's giving me more time to the first wife who started.
It's all haram there. That's why I told you 100 times, but you don't want to listen. Surah chapter 4, verse number 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. If you fear the husband cannot do justice, then he must not take a second wife. He must just stay with the first one, old is gold. How can 5 nights be equal to 2 nights or 2 nights be equal to 5 in that? Which mathematician can show us that and so forth? Yes, if you both come to an amicable agreement, you say fine that you spend 5 nights there and by me you spend every weekend, and you're happy with it, both of you, so then is a different issue. But if he is imposing upon you, then that is haram, it's blatant favoritism, and for that the hadith in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi and so forth, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kanat lahu imratan, a person who has got 2 wives, it's 2 is just example, wa ma la ila ihdahuma, and he favors one over the other, like this case here, jaa yawm al qiyamah, the person will come on the day of qiyamah, the day of justice, wa shiqquhu saqit, his whole body will be bent towards one side and so forth. So therefore, this is the authentic hadith, justice is key when we have 2, 3, 4 wives. If there's no justice, then remember Allah's curse here. How many people took second wife? And then there is so much injustice. That first wife was crying, the children crying, the whole empire of that person crumbled suddenly. So all this baddua, you know baddua? Ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom. Beware of the bad dua of the oppressed person. فَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ hijab. That there is not between the oppressed person and Almighty Allah a veil, a curtain. And you must remember that this is meaning the oppressed person's dua will be accepted almost immediately.
Subhanallah. Someone wants to know, Ustad, that I will be getting married on Friday, but I just have doubts, Ustad. Should I get married?
100%, this is waswasa of shaitan. Boy is happy, girl is happy, the girl's parents are happy. So that is shaitan's waswasa. So send to Maulana Arafat your wedding invitation, and inshallah this week Friday they will have inshallah 10 o'clock to half past 10 the nikah announcements. So send it there, and whenever negativity thoughts come in, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. That is if you, the girl, are 100% happy, your parents are 100% happy, the boy is happy. But if they're forcing you, today I received a message that one person there, he don't want to get married, the parents gave him a good threshing and all this type of thing. You can't do that in Islam. Remember that, not to your son, not to your daughter, that you go and beat them up and hurt, you must marry this one and this one. So that is unacceptable in Islam. Remember that. So if it's a case like that, that way they are really coercing you and forcing you, then rather you call it off. But if it is waswasa, whisperings, then read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and you carry on, inshallah.
I see somebody says from Lodia Mustad, Muftisab, ladies are good cooks, men are greater cooks. So why are women more in the kitchen than men? Ustad, from Lodium.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gave everybody responsibilities. You have to go outside to your shop, to your job, all that. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشَا. And the woman, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّا. Woman must stay in the house. Not the other way around. Today I heard a program where, oh yeah, I went to the barber.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm leaving just now, inshallah. So I went to the barber. So my habit, whenever I go in the car, I just switch on. So the non-Muslims, they were saying, you know, we want equality between men and women in the employment place. So the lady said that it's going to take us 136 years to bring about equality between the genders. So that person said 136, we all will be dead by that time, you see. So you see, that is the non-Muslim culture, you see. So Islam say no. Men outside, you go and work. And women, you stay in the house. So therefore, last night my wife, she made moons. So I said, what's this? She said, moons. I said, oh, Ramadan is coming. So mashallah. So I said, let me learn all the names properly. This time I make mix up, you know. And this type of things here. Gee, last question.
Somebody says that to start that when the Marhum Mufti Muhammad Hashim Ahmad passed away, he's a river sister. You mentioned Mautul Ali, Mautul Alam. Could you please give us the meaning of that, revered sister Ustad?
Remember, sister, when an alim passes away, alim on haq, on truth, then we say, it's not a hadith, it's just saying, then it's like the world has passed away. Because through the one scholar, the one alim, how many students, how many people benefit and so forth. So that vacuum can't be filled. He was running a big madrasa, hundreds, thousands of people benefiting. So Allah Ta'ala make that sadaqah jariyah for him, and Allah Ta'ala grant his family sabre jameel, and we make dua for all the marhumin, all those who passed away with iman and Islam. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with iman. So that is our duty as Muslims to make dua. Chapter 59, verse number 10. Okay, next up is 12 o'clock, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. 12 to 1 after the news, Mohan Suleiman Qatani with some advices. 1 o'clock, inshallah, Zohar Azan, 1:05 to 1:30. So remember, we're starting the 25th part of the Noble Quran. That is Surah Hamim As-Sajda, verses 47 to 54. Then we go to the archives, 1:30 to 2, Surah Anbiya, verses 68 to 75. Then 2 to 3, Current Affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:35, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting. Brother Jonathan became Jamaluddin, listen to that, mashallah. 3:35 to 4, Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi, Masjid Ke Adab, Etiquettes of the Masjid. 4 to 5, Strengthen Ourselves During Ramadan with Maulana Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, today will be Surah Hamim Sajda, verses 47 to verse 54. And thereafter, 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. 8 to 9, Medical File with Dr. Muhammad Dokrat. And then 9 to 9:30, Sheikh Maida. 9:30 to 10, Maulana Salim Karim. So mashallah, wonderful lineup. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. I see there's a listener says, ladies, let the men cook this Ramadan. Listen to Yusuf Ali's program and take notice and learn from me. Take heed. Subhanallah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.